Blog Talk Radio. The following internet radio show is for mature audiences only. That means, boys and girls, you must be 18 years of age or older to listen.
Anyone who has been involved in a long-term monogamous relationship for 2 to 3 years or longer knows very well that when things don't work out romantically, it takes your heart a long time to heal, and more than likely your emotional guard goes right back up into position. What are the steps you should take when a long-lasting relationship comes to an end? What emotional baggage do you need to let go of prior to entering into a new relationship? What precautions should you exercise in the early stages of a new monogamous relationship? My guest for the evening was involved in a 7.5-year relationship that did not end in marriage. Instead of engaging in a prolonged self-pity party, he instead wrote down all of the hard lessons he learned from his failed relationship and used the newfound wisdom not only to console himself, but to educate and inspire friends and acquaintances who had experienced some of the same relationship blues as himself. Who is this man who knows all too well the emotional roller coasters that men and women endure in their quest to find the ultimate Mr. Right or Ms. Right? His name is Roland Hines, and tonight Mr. Hines is going to discuss his newest book entitled Are You the One? Whose choice is it anyway? As he chooses to get up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry.
Oh my God, is this me, Alan Roger Curry of Mode One fame? Oh my God.
You're really good at this.
I gotta ask you, do you feel that black men have some type of unwritten obligation to date and marry someone in a race? You do?
I think they do. I think white people should date white people. I think black people should date black people.
Now, how did you come up with this idea to go to Italy with the women?
With the women, right. I just got so tired of hearing all my male friends talk about Brazil and how great Brazil is for them.
When I was growing up, I would go and hear about black women complaining about white women are stealing our men. Don't complain about your goods being stolen if you casually leave them on the front porch.
Have sex. Enjoy your life.
You know, men really want women to have standards. They really do. And I don't know how we got off of the mark there, but men do like classy women, and they want women to have standards.
I think you can be single and be very, very happy. And I think it's about taking the pressures off about being married.
I'm not saying that you should disrespect a woman. Never disrespect your woman. But the key is to not let her walk all over you.
Romantic love is very volatile. People don't realize it. And it is a drug. People don't realize it. Men and women do stupid things. Not all men, but sometimes you'll do something stupid.
I think it's a turn-on because just to see that person, just to enjoy themselves and just to watch them touching that person and making them feel good, I think that's kind of sexy, actually.
Yo, yo, mode one. This is Gerard McClendon from Chicago Tonight and the McClendon Report. Right now you're listening to Upfront and Straightforward with my good friend, Alan Roger Curry. Mode one, let the women know, fellas, what you're really thinking. Ha ha, Alan Roger Curry.
Promise I'd do it. You can't say I don't love you just because I cheat on you. You can't see all I do to keep you from knowing the things I do. Like erase my phone and keep it out of town. I keep it strapped up when I sleep around. Well, I should have known one day you'd find out. But you can't go and leave me now.
You know that I love you. Know what about you?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. We're on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, and I'm your host, Alan Roger Curry. And today is Thursday, February 25th, and tonight I'm going to be talking to a lecturer, motivational speaker, book author, and also a fellow Blog Talk Radio host regarding his new book entitled Are You the Right One? Are you the right one? Whose choice is it anyway? That's the name of his book. Are you the right one? Whose choice is it anyway? Now, I have to acknowledge in my personal business, not everybody puts their personal business out there. And I'm not going to go into any specific details, but as my closest friends and many of my Facebook friends know, this past week has been a little challenging for me. My 6-month long distance relationship with my most recent girlfriend came to an end last Friday, and as anyone would expect who's experienced a breakup of an emotionally profound relationship, you just don't get over it overnight. You know, some people choose to kind of bottle up their feelings and whatnot. But I think the best thing is to do is to talk about it with your close friends and your siblings, and in this case, even maybe your listeners, you know. But, yeah, me and my girl, we broke up. She had listened to all my shows starting with early to mid-September. She usually was on the line at the beginning. But anyway, again, I'm not going to get into details, but we broke up last week. So that's that. So reason I bring that up, because this episode is timely for me. This episode, normally I try to provide knowledge and wisdom for my listeners, but this topic and this guest is going to be very timely for me, because it's going to be like a form of personal therapy for yours truly. I don't have a specific guest scheduled for next week, which means that I might just have another open discussion forum. I know you're getting excited. You're getting excited, ain't you? You're getting excited. Yeah, man. I might have another open discussion forum next week. Did you know that last week's open discussion forum was my 7th? Most listened to episode ever by live listeners, my 7th
most listened to episode ever by live listeners, and it was the most listened to episode ever by live listeners for an episode, for an episode that didn't have an invited guest or a guest co-host. So of all the open discussion forums I've done where I didn't either have a guest or a guest co-host, it was my most listened to show ever by live listeners. Last week's topic, as you know, was Are Men Intimidated by Women? So if you got suggestions for topics you want to talk about, because last week's topic was based on one of my listeners' suggestions, if you got a topic you want me to talk about, send it to blogtalkradio at mode1.net, at mode1.net, blogtalkradio at mode1.net. Send me your suggestions for discussion topics, topics that you think are relevant, timely, controversial, provocative. Otherwise, I'll come up with my own. But I like to invite my listeners to give me ideas because, like I said, the topic I had last week was actually suggested by one of my listeners. So, next week, 90% chance I'm going to do another open discussion format. Now, when I do the open discussion format, you are the ones who keep the conversation going. It's my listeners who keep the conversation going. So, hey, last week you guys kept it going. So, you know, I gotta give it up for you. Yep, I gotta give it up for you because the listeners, you carried me last week. So that's the risky thing with doing my open discussion format type shows is that when I don't have a guest and, I depend on my listeners to call in, ask me questions, make comments, et cetera. And so I need you guys. So if I do that next week, you guys got to call in. Whatever the topic is, you got to call in and either express comments or make questions, or ask questions, or whatever. Help carry me through the show. I love you. I love you. I love you. I love you. Speaking of my love for my listeners, you know I got love for all my listeners. I got love for all my listeners. All my listeners. But particularly, I got love for my chat room listeners. My chat room listeners, let me give a few shout-outs. I got my man, the Lovologist, is up in the house tonight. I ain't seen him in my chat room in a minute. Lovologist, in case you don't know, if you're a blog talk radio enthusiast, surely you know the Lovologist. He got one of the smoothest voices on blog talk radio. He got that real smooth, even keel voice that just kind of sucks you in and hypnotizes you. That's the Lovologist. He's one of the coolest brothers of all times. I got my loyal listener, Hypert, in the chat room. Hypert is in the chat room. I got Inspire Me Radio in my chat room. I got Scala 2414. Scala 20. He always got some thoughts. Scala, when he call in, he ain't just going to be like, yeah, what's up? Yeah, how y'all doing? No, Scala's going to break some stuff down when he calls in because he's just an intelligent, articulate brother. That's Scholar Twitter. I got self-guided in my chat room. I got Soft Caramel in my chat room. I got a number of guests in my chat room. I got Emotion Free Radio in my chat room. And I got Rach Garrett in my chat room. And there's one person who's in my chat room who goes by True V Radio. I'm not going to tell you who that is just yet because I'm going to highlight them in a few moments. But I got True V Radio in my chat room, and I'm sure some other listeners will make their way into my chat room. And like I said, I got love for you. Other special shout-outs will be my brother and ace confidant, Stephen Curry, my cousin, J.P. Jones, who just had a birthday this past Sunday, at the ball, my other cousin in Maplewood, New Jersey, Christopher Curry, my cousin in Detroit, Philip Pulliam and his older brother, Irvin V. Pulliam III, EVP3. See, EVP3, I was talking about my breakup. He dropped some knowledge and wisdom on me this week, helping a brother keep his chin up. He was looking out for his young friend here. He was looking out for his brother in spirit, and I appreciate that, EVP3. Shout out to Nohad, a.k.a. Metal Haze. Shout outs to Vanessa Turner, Frava Burgess, Edith Lee Harris, who reposted my article from TheExaminer.com. Much love to you, Edith Lee Harris. Matter of fact, she had some friends that was trying to challenge my article on her Facebook page. Boy, I wrote an article this week about relationships of convenience and how they very rarely, if ever, progress to marriage. And she got a lot of attorney friends, and they was one particular. She was just trying to dissect everything I said, but she was thorough. You know, a lot of her points were valid. Much love to her. Speaking of articles, there was this article I read that was really good by a young lady named Cynthia O'Cely. I hope I'm pronouncing her last name right. It's O-C-C-E-L-L-I, Cynthia O'Cely. She had a really good article about how when people show you who they really are, believe them. You have to read it. It was a very thorough article. Man, it was just a really good article. I loved it to death. So look for that on TheExaminer.com. Cynthia O'Cely, again, that's O-C-C-E-L-L-I. Will Wavy, Mel Hopkins, Chad Hunter, all of my other fellow Blog Talk Radio colleagues. Real quick, Tiger Woods, as you know, since my last show, he issued an apology. I still don't know if he needed to do that. I have mixed feelings about that whole him having to apologize, but hey, so be it. Speaking of sports, in the NFL, Brian Westbrook and LaDainian Tomlinson are without a team. What's up with that? What's up, Ballers Radio? Ballers Radio is in my chat room. LaDainian Tomlinson got let go from the San Diego Chargers. Brian Westbrook got let go from the Philadelphia Eagles. Interesting. Interesting. Also line to line of sports on ESPN. Yeah, are you familiar with Tony Kornheiser? He used to be on Monday Night Football. He's been on Pardon the Interruption for the longest on ESPN. And, man, he roasted Hannah Storm, man. He was dogging out her outfits and whatnot and got suspended. I mean, was just talking about her trying to be sexy. I thought that was just cold. I mean, he just was dogging her out. But, yeah, he got suspended as a result of it. So, so be it. A woman is suing 50 Cent over an internet sex tape. He put an internet sex tape on, and he is now getting sued. I don't understand these internet sex tapes. I got my kinky side to me, but I'm not going to let anybody just videotape my ass so it can land up on, you know, YouTube or whatever. I mean, I don't, no. Some stuff just need to remain between you and your loving partner or you and your sex partner. But, you know, I don't know. And then finally, a brother I actually went to college with. He's a fraternity brother of mine. He's been embroiled in some war of words. That would be Tavis Smiley. Tavis Smiley has his own show on PBS. And he's been a community activist for years. And him and Al Sharpton have been going at it. Tavis and Al Sharpton have been going at it. Oh, if you ain't heard about it, Google it. But, man, they've been going at it. To give you the brief synopsis, what happened is Tavis basically feels like President Obama has not done enough to help black folk. Al Sharpton and many other leaders are saying that President Obama is not in a position where he can specifically look out for just black folk. He's the president of everyone. He's not just the president of black folk. So, but Tavis doesn't feel that way. Tavis feels like he's still should have a special interest in black folk, and it caused this whole war of words between Tavis, Smiley, and Al Sharpton. So, it's been kind of getting really contentious at times, really contentious. I guess Al Sharpton wanted to say, hey, man, you can mess with some of these other people, but I ain't the one. I am not the one. But speaking of the one, my guest for the evening has a book about being the one, not only just the one, but the right one, the right one. He's a fellow Blog Talk Radio host. Matter of fact, his show comes on the same day as mine, Thursday. His show comes on Blog Talk Radio at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, 5 o'clock Pacific time, and it usually has the title True View Radio. True View Radio, he's in my chat room, and that's who my guest is for tonight. Again, he's a lecturer, motivational speaker. He's an expert relationship educator. His newest book is entitled, Are You the Right One for Me? Now, see, I've been talking about my breakup. I thought I had the right one for me, but I was wrong. So I'm going to get into this discussion so I can find out where I made my mistakes. Are you the right one for me? Whose choice is it anyway? Whose choice is it anyway? Without further ado, on behalf of Upfront and Straightforward and the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network, listeners, give it up for Mr. Roland Hines. What is up, my man Roland?
What's going on, good family? First of all, let me just get it out the way, okay?
Okay.
Mode one.
I would, right when you say that, I would have technical difficulties with my switchboard. Because people know that when somebody says, Mode one, I have to play my Mode one chant that goes like this.
Alan Roger Curry.
You're up front and straightforward.
Alan Roger Curry.
What's good?
Hey, man, I appreciate you, man. I appreciate you giving me the early that was cool, man. That was cool. Hey, real quick shout out. I see in my chat room, Charvette Radio came into my chat room, and Miss SL S69 came into my chat room, and much love to you for listening to my show. Roland, you know what's funny, man? Here's the thing about you. My father taught me when I was young, he said, as much as possible, you should try to have a reputation that is beyond reproach. You know, I mean, I'm sure you're going to have haters who might have some, you know, invalid criticisms like here and there, but you know, you want to have your name be associated with good character and good integrity. And you notice, I mean, I all week when I've told people you're going to be on my show, nobody was like, you know, oh, that motherfucker going to be on your show? Man, shit, I ain't listening. That dude, man, he crazy, man. He's a buster. No, man, everybody was just loving on you, man, male and female. Everybody was like, oh, Roland, now that's a really good guy. He's a really good guy. And I just heard that repeated. Oh, yeah, Roland. Oh man, he's just a top notch guy. So man, you really got a lot of character references out there, Roland. Man,
that's love. I appreciate that. You know, and I always say love is love, and I really do mean that because you know it's not what you say about yourself; it's what people say when you don't even know what they're saying behind your back. So I appreciate that very much.
Yes, indeed. Now, let's get right into this, man. Normally my default show is 90 minutes, but I'm going to pre-warn you. I might go a little longer, man, because, see, you're not only a guest tonight, man. You kind of indirectly going to be like somewhat of an informal therapist for me, man.
Do you, man. That's what I do. So,
yeah,
you know,
man,
I'm here.
You know, I'm going through a tough breakup, man, with my honey. We broke up last week. But first I want to ask you, what experiences and observations in your life inspired you to write this book?
Well, as you mentioned in the beginning of the intro, roughly about 7 years ago, I went through a breakup myself. I had a 7-year-long relationship, which a great deal of my relationship was fantastic. I mean, like one of those type of relationships where you feel like there's nothing you can't do. And then all of a sudden, it came to a crashing halt. And when it came to a crashing halt, there was, you know, to build the foundation was great, but to tear the foundation hurt even the most.
I gotta stop you and interject. See, now I'm having a tough time with this relationship that just ended for me, and it was only 6 months. I've never had the longest relationship I had was roughly about 3 years. So I can't even relate, because I did read that in your book that it was actually, you said 7.5 years in the
mm-hmm.
book.
That's right.
Man, I can't even relate. When did you, in that 7.5-year period, you said most of it was good. Well, when, at what point did you very first begin to feel like, uh-oh, my relationship's in trouble?
You know, it wasn't that kind of trouble because, see, we had established quite a bit together, including a business. And the busier the business got, the more we began to separate because the business, as you well know, it requires, it's like another life entity of its own. So I was gone a lot within the relationship. So it's kind of hard to continue to cultivate a relationship when you're constantly gone. So there's some things that you will miss when you're not around much. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, like now, after when I finally realized that things was going south, you know, people start arguing and you start fighting over really retarded stuff. And as much as you keep the toilet seat up, it becomes like a major ordeal. So after all of that, you know, it severs the relationship.
Got you. And now, it's funny because what I find, and some people I think are objective and they realize that it's challenging, breakups are challenging for both genders, but I find many times people tend to automatically assume that women are the more, you know, emotional creatures and it affects them more than men. But when you officially broke up from that 7.5-year relationship, in the early stages, those first few days, first few weeks, how did this affect you?
Well, you know, for most people, you will feel banged up and bruised up. But you see, my grieving process didn't start until 2 years afterwards. Because, remember, I was saying earlier, we owned a business together.
Okay.
So it wasn't like I just lost an ex and then I started grieving. It was more along the line of I lost an ex and then I lost a business partner, too. So
that had to be tough.
Yeah, so if you can imagine, you know, you are not getting along, obviously, within a business and you're breaking down your business and then you are breaking your relationship. And then you're breaking individual family ties together. That took like roughly 2 years and 2 years of just havoc. So my grieving process, I had to put on hold until 2 years later.
Wow. That's
yes.
Now, okay, when that grieving process did go into effect 2 years later,
uh-huh.
How did it affect kind of your day-to-day behavior and,
The odd thing about that is what happened was you start feeling confused because all of your normal routines, what you would normally do with that person, you know, like for us when we were together, you know, we would drink like, you know, nice wine and go out to nice little restaurants. And when the Grammys came around, we would go see all the Grammy movies. So we had our little patterns of things that we would do. We would travel twice a year, one domestic, one international. So we had our pattern things that we would do. But now it's just you. And you're like, uh-oh, you know, what do I do? So along that line, you have to kind of create a whole new normal when you are breaking up with that person. And that's the part that really hurt a lot. So when I first, you know, got over that process, when it was final with us, I flew to Vegas and I stayed in the room. And speaking of emotional, I cried and didn't shower. I ain't gonna lie, for the whole weekend. Talk about feeling blue. It was horrible.
You were feeling blue and funky.
Oh man! Thank goodness I was by myself.
I appreciate that honesty, man. Because I ain't gonna lie, man. I was shoot, man. I done did my share of tear shedding over my relationship. Because like you said, you know, I can totally relate because you're talking about when you're in a relationship. This. Now, see, the different thing about my relationship I have to acknowledge is that most of my relationship was long distance. Mm-hmm. I'm in actually the Northwest Indiana, Chicagoland region, and she's in California. So it wasn't like we were together every day. I want to put that forth. But even long distance, though, we had certain things we did together. Like we would, it's crazy, my son, we would watch movies over the phone. We would have like a movie date night over the phone. But the biggest thing is actually related to my show. She would always listen to my shows, either the entire show or at minimum the first, you know, half hour, the hour of the show. And you're a Blog Talk Radio host, so you know how you can see who's in your queue.
Absolutely.
And she would always be in my phone queue. And like literally tonight is actually the first time she has not been in my phone queue like since going back to, because we hooked up in August, early to mid-August of last year. And I started my new season that September. So since September up through last week, she was always in my phone queue. And so, yeah, I know what you mean about that, that kind of that normalcy, relationship normalcy versus mm-hmm. the individual normalcy. Now, one thing I found interesting about your book, you got a number of little clever acronyms in your book.
Mm-hmm.
First, I want you to tell my listeners, give a little synopsis and definition of the first acronym I came across, which is GRACE, G period, R period, A period, C period, E period, GRACE. What do each of the letters stand for in GRACE?
Well, I'll give you a few of them. The first one, which is the most important, is growth. When you get into a relationship with someone, it is imperative that your relationship grows. Because if you remain stagnant in a relationship, there's a lot of different things that's going to come in. So how am I or how are you going to stimulate me and I stimulate you within the relationship? See, so it's not about, okay, well, we're going to come home. We're just going to do the same old ho-hum. How are we going to make sure we keep each other from not being bored of one another? The second one is respect. Respect is very, very important in a relationship. And respect is actually very important, period. I always say you don't have to love me, but damn it, you have to respect me. Well, you know, because the thing about this, a lot of people don't realize that respect is a very crucial thing in a relationship because if somebody doesn't respect you, they'll bring somebody in and sleep on your bed and, you know, and just do things that's just normally out of character. So it's imperative that you make sure that that person respects you as you respect them. And then you have to have the self-respect for yourself so that way that people can respect you. And then there's the appearance, making sure that you maintain who you are, keeping it, if you will, sexy for your relationship. Because if I am out there hitting the gym, and Lord knows nobody really likes to exercise, I don't really know too many people who ideally just say, I love exercise, I'm going to go to the gym and just do me. That's, you know, the thing about that is the most important thing is to make sure that you maintain your appearance and that person maintain their appearance for you. So, I mean, those are the few things that, you know, treating your relationship with grace is really truly about because you just want to abuse your relationship. You have to put effort into it, you know, and once you put the effort into it, that's like showing grace.
Now, that's interesting. That's interesting you talked about respect because I don't know if you're familiar. Are you familiar with Deborah Cooper? She's also a Blog Talk Radio host.
I know.
Miss Heartbeat?
Mm-mm. Oh, yeah. Okay, yes, Miss Heartbeat. Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah.
I didn't know my name. Mm-hmm.
We were just talking about that recently. We got into a conversation, private conversation about just relationships in general and stuff, and that's what she was saying. She said basically that love and respect go hand in hand. She said a woman cannot love a man, truly love a man, unless she also respects him. She's like, there's just no way you can love a man but disrespect. You can respect a man but not love him, but you can't love him and not respect him is what she said.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that that's very important when you're dealing with an individual because a lot of times people, they learn to love you, or they come, especially women, because they're more emotional, they'll love you first. But if you don't maintain that level of respect with them, that can slip away from you real quick. So you got to maintain the level of respect. You don't still earn the head of household right. You've got to work for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That makes definite sense. Okay. Now, since we on this kind of acronym tip, you got another one. Briefly, tell my listeners about MAC. M-A-C, MAC.
Well, that comes from basically cleaning out your emotional closet. And the thing about cleaning out your emotional closet, when you first break up from a relationship, like as I mentioned earlier, there's a lot of different things that go on. But let's back up for a little bit. We all have things that happen in our relationship, which we create patterns. And when we create these patterns, it's like almost like, if you will, a self-sabotage thing. Like, let's say if you come from a household where your parents are alcoholics, or you've seen your father being abused or something along those lines, auntie, grandfather, all these different cycles that have continued. Now, what happens is that's a normal for you. But you see, the thing about that is you got to learn to let that go, see, because and break that pattern, which is M for mourning the loss of a relationship. You end up having a relationship with some of these bad habits that comes to be stored in your closet. So as you try to determine what it is that you are dealing with and why you keep on doing the things that you're doing, like, for example, you said earlier that most of your relationships that you have are usually long distance. I'm not going to dissect your relationship on air, but the question that, if it was me, that I would have to ask myself is, why am I always dating people who are far away from me?
Wait, let me clarify. No, I didn't say most of my relationships. I actually said this most recent one was.
Oh, most recent. My apologies.
Most
sorry
recent
about that.
One
sorry,
was,
sorry.
Yeah, I said most of our interaction between me and this particular girlfriend, it was long distance, because, again, I'm here in the Chicagoland region, and she's in California. No, but no. Actually, the vast majority of my relationships have been, you know, people who were within driving distance of me.
Oh, okay.
She's one of only two, no more than three relationships I've had in my life that was long distance. Yeah, but she and I actually, of all things, we met on Facebook.
That's funny. Facebook has linked a lot of people up together.
Yeah, we connected on Facebook in July last year, late July. We started, you know, connecting in August, and I went out there to visit a couple times. Anyway, I don't want to get into too many details of my last relationship, but okay, well, given that this one, though, was long distance, what would be kind of your analysis on that? Any particular analysis?
Well, you know, in my book, as you well know, because you have a copy of the book, I don't really give advice. And here's the reason why I don't typically give advice, because you would have to almost know everyone's lifestyle. What I try to do is to get behind people's patterns on what it is that they're doing, mm-hmm. and bring awareness to where their patterns may be, so that way they can understand, hey, this is a pattern. This pattern isn't working for me. I might need to make a change. So that way I can create a better habit, so that way I can have a more successful relationship, but not just with anyone when you're looking for the right one.
Mm-hmm. Now that's a good point, because, as you know, I have two books out. Mode 1 is my first book. Mode 1, Let the Women Know What You're Really Thinking. Mm-hmm. And my second book is similar title to my radio show. It's called Upfront and Straightforward, Let the Manipulative Game Players Know What You're Really Thinking. And one of the things I say with people, even though I generally many times will call myself giving my readers advice, but I'm similar to you. Technically, I don't really like to feel like I'm an advice giver. What I do in both my books is I just share, I call it shared wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
I just talk about what I've experienced in my life. Again, similar to what you said, I recognize certain patterns that would lead to desirable results versus those habits and patterns that would typically lead to undesirable results. And I just kind of basically made a book out of it. And that's what led to both of my books. So, yeah, I tend to refer to it more as shared wisdom rather than, you know, I don't consider myself any type of, like, psychotherapist or true, you know, relationship expert per se. Yeah, I want to really get into talking about basically three components is what I want to get into after I'm going to go to intermission. But
okay.
I want to talk about, as we've already been alluding to, starting with the tail end of a relationship that's about to be over or has ended, then move into what should men and women do after they've broken up, but before they've gotten into a new relationship. And then finally, I want to get into questions related to what are some of the things you should do in the early stages of a new relationship. So, listeners, we're going to get into all that when I get back from this intermission break. If you want to call in with a question or comment, my number is 646-478-5710, 646-478-5710. Right now, I'm going to let my guests, Rolling Hines, get a swig of water, and I'm going to take about a 3 to 4 minute intermission break, and when I get back, I'll have more questions for my guest this evening. Mr. Rolling Hines, don't go anywhere.
Hey, I'm Dangerously. And you may have read my short story, Till Death Do Us Part, in the New York Times bestselling anthology, Succulent, Chocolate Flavor 2, presented by Zane. Well, things get even hotter between the pages of Keep Your Panties Up and Your Skirt Down. Check it out at PantiesUpSkirtDown.com. And remember, keep it dangerous.
What's up, folks? This is Alan Roger Curry of Upfront and Straightforward and Mode 1 fame. And if you're a music lover, I urge you to listen to Madison Media Radio. It's not just music, but it is music with a purpose. Right here on the Blog Talk Radio, Internet Radio Network.
Mode 1.
Do you think that guys, to one degree or another, have to play the role of the bad boy to attract women, or they just need to remain who they are and just, you know, be patient?
No, they need to combine their game. They need to go in with an attitude that I'm going to be a gentleman, but I'm also letting you know that I'm attracted to you. You know, I want to kiss you. I want to hold you. I want to, you know, I want to take you out. I want to date you. You know, if you think I want to get in your pants, you're probably right. But at the same time, I like you. I like you. I want to see you.
You know, there's more single women than married women in the United States.
Oh, people, really? I didn't know that.
It's over 51%. Yeah.
You know, there's more what?
Okay.
There's more single women than married women in the United States right now. First time ever in history.
Mindset is correct. Somewhere there's a woman that's balanced, that's God-focused, that, you know, she gives because she wants to give, not because she's trying to hook somebody with her giving, but she values herself. She recognizes her good qualities, acknowledges her bad qualities, and this is the person that's balanced and ready to be in a healthy relationship.
So listeners know, there's a letter in my first book, Letters to a Young Brother, Manifest Your Destiny. It's called Finding Your Swagger. In fact, it's so funny. I just got a letter from a young brother that he read my book and it's changed his life. And he also put it in, he said, and you know what? I found my swagger and now all the girls like me like you said they would. I was so tickled by that, yeah.
Oh, man, you gotta love it.
Single, lonely, confused, join. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Now return to my interview with book author and motivational speaker Roland Hines on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Welcome back. Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. You know what's interesting? This was interesting. I have this promo that you just heard where I always start off saying, single, lonely, confused, join me. And it's funny, my own words have never resonated with me more than right now. that's the truth. I mean, I was listening to it, and I was like, damn, that describes me right now. Single, lonely, confused. I got to join myself because I always say join me. So that's the trip. Those words have never affected me like that before. But here's my guest tonight. My guest tonight is a very thorough brother, very intellectual and articulate brother by the name of Roland Hines. His book is entitled, Are You the Right One for Me? Whose Choice Is It Anyway? And we've been chatting it up, and he's been breaking down some of his acronyms. And before I went to the break, I was telling my listening audience that I want to basically cover three phases of dating and relationships, kind of exiting out of one of you're just most recently in the relationship, like me. I just came out of a relationship, as I've been mentioning on the show. Then when you kind of in that middle area, you kind of in between relationships, and then we're going to wrap up and conclude by us. I'm asking questions related to getting into a new relationship. So, Roland, what are some of the specific steps that men and women should take within the first month or two after a heartbroken breakup?
Well, the thing is, it takes time to go ahead and get yourself back to normal because there's a lot of different processes that we all go through. For example, you may stop eating and you may not sleep at night. All of these different things are little forms of depression. I mean, it's like really losing a death or having a death in your life when you lose somebody. Depending on the degree of your relationship of which you ended the relationship, if you know that you're not going to be speaking with this person anymore and this person's not going to be a part of your life, it's like they're gone. So along that line, you have to create, you know, a whole new normal for yourself on the things that you're going to be able to do to get past this person. If you guys used to watch movies at an appointed hour, then what will happen is that you will need to make sure that you start doing something else around that appointed hour. Otherwise, the time that you would normally watch the movie together will probably seem like the hardest time that you can imagine to ask about, dealing with that time factor when you would normally watch the movies together. So you have to create a new normal.
Create a new normal. I like that. I'm going to have to marinate on that. Create a new normal.
Let me just elaborate on that a little bit more, and I'll give you a personal for myself. I mean, like I told you some of the things that we used to do. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, we used to have season tickets to the Hollywood Bowl every year. That was for, like, roughly about 6 of the 7 years. Well, every time I started going to the Hollywood Bowl, it became painful instead of joyful. So what happened was I had to cease the tickets that we would go to every year to the Hollywood Bowl. So I think that I've probably returned to the Hollywood Bowl, which I'm okay now. But back then, I think I may have returned to the Hollywood Bowl maybe once or twice since then, because it was the memories that we once had that when we went there, what it signified. That was our way of spending time together and listening to nice jazz music and having a nice little picnic. So that was one of our romantic interludes that we had. So I had to cease that. So that's what I mean by creating a whole new normal.
Mm-hmm. Now, so you in L.A.?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I used to live in L.A. for about 6.5 years, and I miss L.A. And again, that's where, that's where my most recent girlfriend is. So, yeah, I was just out there a couple of times in the last month and a half. Now, is it truly possible for men and women to be objective when evaluating their own strengths and weaknesses in a past relationship and in dating and relationships in general?
Initially, probably not. It takes time to go ahead and make sure that you heal, but at least at that given time, that's when you're at your most vulnerable state. So you already are pretty much naked, if you would say. So you might as well just go ahead and feel the pain and write down what it is that you're feeling. Because as you well know from the book, Are You the Right One for Me? The book is not a read. So if you think that you're going to go ahead and just read it and be done and be like, okay, yeah, I read this, it's great, it's interesting, and keep it moving, that's not what the book is about at all. In the book, you actually have to answer questions about yourself that will assist you in opening up yourself. If you went to a therapist and you don't feel talking to a therapist, well, you can, you know, be therapeutic to yourself and write it down. So that's why I put the ask the questions inside there so people can write things down, and sometimes you don't even realize what you're harboring up inside of your body or in your mind.
Now, that's so interesting. I knew there was a reason I had you on my show. You know, hate to keep plugging my book, but in both my books I do the same thing. I do the exact same thing. At the end of each chapter, I usually have about 3 to 5 questions that I have the readers ask. So I like that format in your book, because I think, you know, it is good to read and then kind of answer questions. And I loved a lot of your questions, actually. I'm going to take a call. First, I'm going to give a few new shout-outs since people have come into my chat room since I started the show. Kavina, man, shout-out to you. Number of guests in my chat room. I got Kifi, K-I-F-I, in my chat room. Metal Hayes, what's up? Metal Hayes, that's my main man. No head, a.k.a. Metal Maze. Mrs. Carol 808. I want to say 808 is Hawaii. Uh-huh.
It is. It is Hawaii.
Okay. Pauly D. What's up? Shout out. I think Pauly D is on the line right now. And I got, who else new came in here? Sufi, S-U-I-F-I, The Mac Show, Tommy Stadenko, and It's University, Miscellaneous. And, now I don't see anybody in my phone. Now, Pauly D, I thought you were in my phone queue. I saw somebody in my phone queue. They must have dropped off. Call them. Call back in. 646-478-5710. 646-478-5710 is the phone line. How does one know? This relates also to kind of being objective with yourself. Say you had a bad breakup.
Mm-hmm. Which I did.
How does one know if because of their breakup, if they become mentally and emotionally fragile and or unstable?
Oh, Alan, in every relationship that most people, if you love, keyword if you love, mm-hmm, you're going to come out battered That's if you love. You know, if you don't love, you could potentially become a little bit unscathed, but you still have some residuals of the person who you was with. There's no way that anyone can end up and come out of a relationship and not be unscathed. Because no matter what, if I spend time with you enough time, even as a good friend and you're my boy and everything like that, and you're not here, you've had some influence on my life, and it's going to hurt me. Mm-hmm. So the answer to that question is, regardless of the situation, somebody's going to feel a little bit hurt. They may not admit it at first, but somewhere down the road, they will still feel. You know, ironically enough, I'll share a little story with you real quick. My ex contacted me after 9 years last month.
Wow.
After 9 years. But it wasn't the fact that she only contacted me after 9 years. When I was in my relationship with her, I did the best that I could as a man to make sure that I held my position and played my position. Not to say that she didn't play her position, because if we collectively did not play our position as a unit, we would not have had what we had. So, you know, everyone has to know their roles and what they play.
Hmm. Okay, okay.
So that's part of the process, which we'll go when we get to the other side of when you're, you know, trying to find that significant other, what it is that you are putting together in the relationship to go ahead and build something together. Because not because someone presents themselves in front of you means that they are the right one for you.
That's a good point. That's a good point. Area code 512, area code 512. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest for the evening, Mr. Roland Hines. What's your question and or comment?
How you doing? This
How
is
you
Rashad
doing?
Biggins.
Who is
Greeting.
It?
Rashad Biggins.
Rashad Biggins.
Rashad. Oh, no,
Rashad. Okay, my fault.
There you go.
So what's your question or comment, Rashad?
My comment is for the topic question. Are you the right one for me? And that answer is yes. I am the right one for you. That's to all the ladies who listening right now.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Because, you know, I just got to try different ways to reach out to certain folks.
Oh,
so,
Lord.
You should be helping me out, Alan.
Wait, hold on, Rashad. Hold on, because you're killing me, family. Hold on. How can you be the right one for a whole bunch of ladies?
Well, see, God made sharing possible amongst us, and they would have to share me. And I'm an equal opportunity individual. So
equal opportunity?
Yes. Everybody would get their chance.
Oh, man.
Oh, so let me guess, you're a polygamist.
No, I'm black. I'm not white.
Every episode needs comic relief, and Rashad just provided it.
That's two different things. Come on now, bro. You should know better.
Love is love, family.
So you don't have a serious question for Roland Hines?
No, because you seem to answer all my questions when you talk about certain things.
Okay, so you just wanted to get some love and attention from the ladies who are listening to my show.
Yeah, so if you get emails from your podcast, I'm going to be checking up on you. So if you get emails from your podcast, you know what I'm saying?
Hey, ladies,
send me
an email. If you like this brother's voice, Rashad, send an email to blogtalkradio@mo1.net so I can forward it to him. Because
mm-hmm.
this is smooth, Rashad. He said he's willing to share himself with the ladies, because he ain't a selfish brother.
Equal opportunist. That's what I am.
Equal opportunist. Hey, man, much love to you.
Thank
Thanks
you, bro.
For calling in.
I
got another, I think it's one of these voice IP numbers, 111. I don't know if you're just listening, but you're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. And my guest, Roland Hines, what's your question or comment?
Hello, this is actually Dr. Misk. How's everybody doing today?
Hey,
doing?
What was your name again?
Dr. Misk.
Dunker Mist?
No, doctor. I actually have a
doctor.
Degree.
Oh,
sociology.
Yeah, I saw you in the chat
room.
Yes,
sir,
okay.
Yes. Oh, no,
okay.
Yeah. So I actually had some a few good points to put in because I actually I have a doctoral degree in sociology and I'm minoring in psychology, and it's kind of my field of expertise per se.
Okay.
So I was actually, you know, I grew up in Philadelphia. I don't know if you've been up there. I'm a big Eagles fan. And so that's where I was born and raised. And, you know, it's a great city up there, but it just seems, you know, by the research that I've been doing in that city that people are turning away from marriage and turning away from the right one. You know what I mean? It's that, okay, I have a statistic here from a study I did out of 1,000 just random individuals, white, black, Asian, everything, you know, male and female. And get this, 72% said they do not want to be married before the age of 30, and they are not, and 53% said they are not worried about even finding the right one. That's staggering numbers.
Yeah, that's true.
So it seems like everyone, you know, from what I can get, just wants to fuck everybody and, you know, say screw finding the one.
Hmm. Well, Roland, what do you think about those stats?
Well, you know, I don't know where the stats came from, but this is what I would say to that, okay? If you are before age 30, you really should probably be thinking about marriage anyway because there's so much to accomplish before age 30, like travels, education, job stability, especially within this market. I don't think that necessarily means that everyone is interested in having intimate relations with someone. I think that what is really important is that when you are looking for the one, what are you bringing to the table? You know, you have to bring more than your genitals to the table to be able to just be with that specific one because you're talking about building a long, solid relationship together with that person. So, I mean, if that's what you choose to do and be promiscuous and be out there doing what you do, then you're doing what you do. But if you're looking for the right person for yourself, what are you bringing to the table? Keyword being right and one. We're not talking about, you know, the right one for like about 2 weeks.
Now, it's funny. I'm going to get to a question related to that because you talk about the difference between Mr. or Miss Right and Mr. Mm-hmm. Miss Right now. But before I get to that, I'm going to take another caller. Thank you, previous caller, for calling in, Dr. Miscellaneous. Area code 215. I think I know who this is. I think this is one of my loyal listeners. You're now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Roland Hines. What's your question or comment?
Roland! What up, man?
Is this Alex?
This is the angry black nerd, the naughty professor, the Haitian sensation, Don Calypso. Yes, it's me. Sorry, I'm late, guys.
Good family.
Long time no hear, Roland.
What? I want to just, before you go further, I just want to say one thing to you, man. You know, as far as supporters go, Mr. Don Calypso never misses not one of my shows, and that's love. So I thank you, family, for being at my show.
Hey, I can't make it live, but you know I would catch you in the archive, bro.
Yes, you do. So
Don Calypso, man, I share the same compliment of this brother as much as he can, Roland. He's always in my show. If he don't catch my show live, he catches it on the archive, and he's always been supportive. So, listeners, you know, I always appreciate when I have loyal, enthusiastic listeners, and Don, Alex, a.k.a. Don, the Haitian Sensation, is one of them. So give it up for him! That's right. But what's your question or comment tonight, Alex?
No question or comment. I missed the whole thing. I'm just coming in, listening. I'll catch it in the archives, and I'll give my feedback later.
Oh, okay. Well, to tell you what we've been talking about, Alex, I'm kind of opening up to my listening audience. Normally, I'm a pretty private person when it comes to my personal life and my love life, but since I've made it public on Facebook, most people know anyway, but I was in a six-month relationship that recently ended, and so I told Roland he's not only a guest of mine tonight, he's almost like an indirect, informal therapist for me to bounce some of my thoughts off of. But we've been having a good discussion about his book, Are You the Right One? whose choice is it anyway? And just, you know, the process of moving from one failed relationship into hopefully a new
that type. Explains why you did not give the chicken wing recipe. I'll start writing your ass about that one. Because, you know, I was just thinking I'm going to clown you on there because I told you to be giving me that damn recipe. But I understand.
All right, Dodd, man. Well, thank you for calling in and lending your support. And real quick, I always like to give shout-out some people into my chat room. Who have I not noticed? Stan 140574444 is in my chat room. Miss Moki 775 is in my chat. Miss Heartbeat! Oh, Lord, Miss Heartbeat in my chat room. Miss Heartbeat! We had a conversation, and see, she was looking after her brother. She was looking after her friend and fellow Blog Talk Radio host, Alan. She heard about my relationship breaking up, and man, did she have me cracking up. That's just, we don't always philosophically agree on everything when it comes to dating and relationships. We sometimes have diametrically opposed opinions. But that woman, she keeps it real, and when she keeps it real, she's funny as hell. And, yeah, she's in my chat room. JD01 is in my chat room. James365 is in my chat room. Come At Me, Bro is in my chat room. And B Pepper's Potential is in my chat room. Now, going back to you, Roland, if you just got out of a relationship like myself,
mm-hmm.
How long should you wait before entering into a new relationship? Is there a set number of weeks, months, or even years you should wait, or is it just whenever you feel like you're ready to go into a new relationship?
You know, that's a great question, actually, because a lot of people think that, I want to go the back route, that if you don't have sex after 3 dates, then what's wrong? You must be on the down low or something like that, or if you wait 90 days, and you still come around, why? Well, there really isn't no time frame for any of these things that you do, including after dating. But you should take time to heal, at least cleanse yourself of that person. Does that happen in 1 week? No. You know, would it happen in 1 year? One never knows. See, the thing about that is I entered into relationships after my breakup, but they weren't fulfilling. They were just fillers.
Mm-hmm.
So along that line, like I said, after the 2-year mark, when I really started my grieving process, when I ended my relationship, that took me some time to get over all of that, because you're talking about unraveling 7 years. Let me tell you something. I could not stand when October ended, because just having to go through November, December, and then, you know, you have the birthday month that came around, and then you had the anniversary date that came around. See, all these things were just things that you have to really, truly get out of your system when you're with someone. And that takes time. And the only person who would know that, you know, I say it's a day-by-day process, and each day it gets less when you're dealing with that you know, you're letting things go. So it takes time.
Mm-hmm. Now, I got to give a shout-out to my girl. She just reminded me that I thought I gave her a shout-out early in the show. She's in my top 2, top 3 most loyal listeners. She's my good, dear friend. That is Adrian, the most sports-minded woman I know in this country. She actually knows what a crossover dribble is and a play-action fake pass. That is Diva362636 is in my chat room. Love to Columbus, Ohio. That's right. I'll give her some love. That's right, Diva362636. Matter of fact, I'm speaking of Diva. She's in. She has an excerpt in my next intermission, and I'm going to take another intermission right now. But when I get back, I got some more questions for Roland. I got quite a few, actually. We're going 2 hours a night. Normally, my default is an hour and a half. But if Roland doesn't mind, we're going to go 2 hours a night. You don't mind, do you?
No, do you, family.
Okay. So I got – here's some questions coming up. I'm going to ask him, should you keep your new relationship off of Facebook? I'm going to ask him about the difference between Mr. or Miss Right and Mr. or Miss Right Now. Huh. I'm going to ask him about how do you know if someone has the right personality traits for you, and then I'm going to ask him to explain – briefly say some of the characteristics of the honeymoon stage. That's right. So those are some of the questions coming up. But right now, I'm going to let him get another swig of water and then for about 3-4 minutes, and then I'm going to come back. So don't go anywhere. Don't leave me. We got a great conversation going on. I'll be right back.
Another Sound Off Now show starts now.
Yo, what's up? This man, Sound Off Now. What's good, people? Monday morning, first of the year. How's everybody doing? Yo, what's up, this man? Sound off now. What's up, this man? Sound off now. How's everybody doing? Welcome to a Tantalizing Tuesday on the Sound Off Now show. Hello, how's everybody doing tonight? This is your host, Sound Off Now show, special edition, Monday night special, Crisis in Haiti.
Hey, this your man, Sound Off Now. No, really, it's me this time. I want to take this quick opportunity to invite everyone out to my return to internet radio and my home, of course, Blog Talk Radio, February 16th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The Sound Off Now Show, The Rebirth, same real life, real talk, real issues show format, just a different attitude and mental concept of bringing you quality shows you deserve. Also, we will still be hitting you with that popular mesh of hot show topics and forums with that blend of music on the side, including hot, hot, hot Club SOM Platinum on Fridays, 12 midnight Eastern Standard Time. So join me February 16th, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for the rebirth of the Sound Off Now show to the internet airwaves and Blog Talk Radio. I'll see you there.
Myself as a quote-unquote bad boy, at least not in all regards. I mean, I ain't never robbed no bank, and I ain't never skipped 2 weeks of school. So in terms of just various facets of my behavior, I wouldn't necessarily call myself this. But yeah, when it comes to sex, I've definitely been that guy.
Because okay.
I will push a woman's boundaries.
You know what? To be honest with you, I think most women are waiting for a man to do that. Most women want a man to do that. Most women that are coming up in the day and age where a woman is supposed to be the good girl has this idea that a man is going to bring that out of her, and she's hoping that he will. Unfortunately, a lot of men, I won't say a lot of men, but some men have no idea what they're doing. And so they're not able to get that out of her. And then everybody's frustrated. She's frustrated. He's frustrated. Nobody knows why it's not working. But women are like, go ahead. Like, blindfold her and just take her wherever you want to take her. She's waiting for a man to command that. So she can't, you know, in some cases be that free to say, okay, blindfold me and take me wherever you want to take me. And it's because in some way she's afraid of where you might take her. You know, depending on what the relationship is like with him and how much she trusts him. And in other cases, she just doesn't know how to say that herself.
No woman wants a man that can't lay it down in the bedroom. Period. And, you know, women, we go through this, oh, I want to be held and I want to cuddle and I want to talk. Yeah, we want to do all of that. But when it comes down to it, we want to be climbing off the ceiling just like everybody else does.
Single, lonely, confused, join me. I invite you to listen to the most informative and entertaining talk radio show on the internet for single men and single women looking to enhance their social lives, love lives, and or sex lives. Get on the phone right now and tell one or two of your single friends to listen to Upfront and Straightforward with yours truly, Alan Roger Curry, Thursday evenings at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Central, and 7 p.m. on the West Coast, right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network. Now return to my interview with book author and motivational speaker Roland Hines on Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry right here on the Blog Talk Radio Internet Radio Network.
Welcome back to another episode of Upfront and Straightforward with Alan Roger Curry. My guest tonight is Roland Hines. He's a fellow Blog Talk Radio host. He has a show, True View Radio, which comes on Thursdays, just like me, only a couple hours earlier. He comes on at 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, and 5 o'clock Pacific time. And he has a new book out. It's called Are You the Right One for Me? Are You the Right One for Me? How do you know if someone's the right one for you? Because I thought I had the right one for me. See, I just been opening up. If you join my show late, a brother just been opening up his wounds tonight. That's uncharacteristic of me because for most of my life, I've always kept, you know, my personal hurts to myself. But because when relationship was going well, I made it public, both on my show and on Facebook. Now that it's over, I'm making it public. Not all the details, of course, but I have made it public that it's over. So part of who's helping me with my therapeutic, you know, exit interview, if you will, from my past relationship is my man, Roland. Now, Roland, if you're getting into a new relationship, should you keep it off of Facebook?
Absolutely. You know, Facebook is a great venue for communicating with people, but not your relationship. You know, like I hear people, or not necessarily hear, but I see people who they announce their relationship with someone on Facebook, and the whole process of their relationship is on Facebook. Well, for one, if you are a failure at relationship and you're just not very good at relationships, people can actually Google your name and then find out what other people are saying about you and what you're saying about your own relationship. Would I hire you knowing that you can't even hold your relationship and you're putting everything on Facebook? What else would you not put on Facebook? It's a bad thing. If you're going to communicate with your mate, spend the time communicating in person. Leave it off of Facebook. Even the photos, by the way. Not just
wow.
The, yeah, even the photos. It's nobody's business that they need to know who is loving you and who you loving.
Ooh, now, you know you're convicting a brother right now. You convicting like church. You know, like when you're in church and you know you done committed a particular sin and a minister is talking about just that right sin. And you like, oh, snap, you got your hand in your face. Because I'm not going to lie, I'm just going to put it out there. You know, if I probably made a few mistakes in my relationship. And one of the most, I would say, and again, this was normally uncharacteristic of me to do this. Because it's just generally not been in my character. But I did, I think mainly because I met her on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I didn't really feel too bad, kind of. Well, for a while, we kept it low-key. Because, like I said, we connected roughly in early to mid-August of last year. And actually, for about the first 4 months or so, nobody on Facebook knew we were dating. Well, a few people did, but it wasn't really. And then what happened, I went out there to visit her. And we took some pictures.
Mm.
So then I put some pictures on Facebook from New Year's Eve. And then on top of that, we put that, you know, how you can have a status in a relationship with. So I had in a relationship with so-and-so, and she had the same thing. in a relationship with Alan Roger Curry. And so that's when it became very public. That was probably around late December, early January when that happened. And see, it's weird because I ain't going to lie. Now I feel stupid because it's over. And so now in retrospect, I'm like, man, I should have never had that relationship that public. And then the second place I made it public other than Facebook was actually here. I would always give her a shout out on my show. And so you convicted a brother when you said that. Keep your relationship off of Facebook.
Well, let me just say this, because you are a public figure.
Mm-hmm.
You are a public figure, and your private and your public life should never really kind of meet in the middle.
That's a good point.
And that's the reason why, especially for people like ourselves, that say what it is that they say about us, is because of the fact that clearly we are public figures. You are on Facebook, and you do an excellent marketing job and everything. So you're out there. So whatever happens underneath the scene, no one else needs to know that. And not only that, when you go places and you're doing what you do with your lady, you're the one that's the public figure, not her. So you got to respect her privacy and everything, and she's not part of your work. If she's part of your work, then that's a problem.
Well, I do have to say it. I'm not going to say her name, but a lot of people know her name.
Mm-hmm.
But it just so happens in this particular case, she is actually somewhat of a public figure too.
Oh, there you have it.
Yeah, because she used to be, well, she still is. She's a singer.
Mm-hmm.
And she hasn't had any recent music out, although she's coming out with new music. But she used to be a very popular singer. So she has her own fan club. And, I mean, in some circles, her name is actually more well-known than mine.
Mm-hmm.
So we were both kind of public people. And I will acknowledge, in regards to our relationship, she was the one, I have to give her credit, she was the one who actually wanted to keep it more private.
Mm-hmm.
Than I did. I mean, she kind of got excited, got caught up in it too for at least a couple of weeks, the whole, mm-hmm. you know, euphoria of our relationship being new and whatnot. But I would say between the two of us, she actually did want to keep our relationship more private. But I was the one that was more so like, oh, no, it's no problem. Let's put it all on Facebook. And
Let me just give you a little example on that one, because I don't like to call names, let everybody know who I'm talking about, popular rap star. Big time singer in the R&B industry. They don't talk about their relationship. You know, sometimes they don't even show up at the same place at the same time. But everybody knows that they are married and they're together.
You're talking about Jay-Z and Beyonce.
That's right.
Interesting.
So, you know, I mean, that your work is your work, and your relationship is your relationship. I mean, everybody knows. I mean, it's a given that if you don't know that those two are together, that you know, what planet are you living in? But they don't talk about their relationship, no matter who it is, because their relationship and their entertainment life are two different things.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, let me ask you this. How does one know the primary differences? If you're a man, how do you know the difference between Miss Right and Miss Right Now? And if you're a woman, how do you know the difference between Mr. Right and Mr. Right Now?
Great question. Well, the thing about Mr. and Mrs. Right, which is one of the chapters from my book, Are You the Right One for Me? Whose Choice Is It Anyway? When you have a Miss or Mr. Right Now, what they're doing is they're catering to you. I like going to the movies. Well, I love going to the movies, too. Well, what movies do you like to see? Well, which one you like to see? Well, you know, and typically more so for women than men, women like to talk a lot. That's their way of connecting with us. So they usually give us all the information that we need instantaneously. And that's where guys, we're very patient and we can listen when we want to, usually go ahead and pick up on that. And then we just reiterate what it is that we hear. And then they think that we are in love. But it's not that we're in love. It's just that we're listening and we're just giving them what it is that they want to hear. She said, that's why you got to be careful. Now, from the male side, we go crazy for if that's kind of person you are, a Coca-Cola bottle. You know, maybe I'm dating myself, but you know what I mean by a Coca-Cola bottle.
Oh, yeah.
And then you start going out there and you're buying cars, you're buying, you know, flowers, and you're sending flowers every week and everything like that. Well, the thing about that is what we're paying for is the image. And when you're paying for the image, she may not even like you. She may have about 3-4 other dudes going ahead doing the same exact thing. So that's not a long-term relationship. But, you know, on the flip side, when you typically have a man that's going to scope a woman out because that's the way he really feels about her, he's going to wait to get to know her. He's not going to just be trying, although some may, but for the most part, he's not going to be interested in just jumping into intimate relationship with her. He's want to get to know her because he's considering her to be the one. But a lot of times what happens is you'll get some people think, women specifically, oh, he must be on the down low because he ain't trying to get none. He ain't trying to push up on me. You ever thought that maybe he's just trying to get to know you better? And not only that, talk from a connection level, if I know you better, that means we should be able to connect better because I'm listening to you and I'm learning you.
Huh. That's good feedback. How do you know if someone has the right personality traits? Let me ask you, you know, a lot of women say that men are more visual and we put more emphasis on physical appearance. In terms of the ratio between emphasis on personality traits and emphasis on physical appearance and physical chemistry, is there one that's more important than the other or should be more important than the other, or is it just kind of an individual thing?
No, there's actually a purpose for all of that. You know, there's a reason why women like men who have brawn because clearly they can do more physical labor and make them feel protected. And there's clearly a reason why men like a woman that's good-looking, trophy-like, and nurturing and taking care of the house, although that seems to be dissipating as time progresses. But a lot of times the ones that are married are the ones who end up eventually having to conform to go ahead and taking care of the house and be nurturing towards the kids and the husband and everything like that. But nowadays, you know, that all depends too because you got a lot of at-home dads where it was the mom before. But women are coming up in the world where they are actually having more superior jobs and can afford to have the husband stay at home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've talked about that, I think, either last week. Yeah, I want to say just last week about the notion of house husbands. There's a lot of guys who have adopted the role of the house husband. And you know, some guys say they would never do that, but the other guys, they embrace that. So.
Well, I think that a lot of times people think that because if a woman stays at home, she's not working. And that's a myth that really needs to be dispelled because if you are working at the house and that entails going shopping, making sure the bills are paid and, you know, everybody's where they're supposed to be, that really is a full-time job. It's not as easy as most people would make it seem to be.
I agree. Yeah, because I know when my mother stayed at home and, She was working with us, me and my brother. I mean, yeah, so definitely staying at home and being a mom ain't no just, you know, yeah, that's definitely a job. So now briefly explain some of the characteristics of the honeymoon stage and more specifically, just how soon is too soon to start looking at your partner as a potential husband or potential wife?
After the first date. in this modern day and time, you know, you go out after the first date. Girl, I think I got my husband. Yo, dude, I think this is the one, son. You know, these are the things that you hear people say, you know. And one of the things that I talk about, which is in the book, but it's not actually out in the book. I speak about this more in the seminar. I talk about the four C's of a relationship. And the first part being communication. The first part of being in any relationship with anyone is communication. A lot of times when people think that their relationship failed because I'm not having enough intimate relations this person spends too much money, this person doesn't never like to stay home. Well, what are we talking about here? We're actually talking about communication. And people don't take the time to find out all these different things about the person who they're construing as the one. And then when they get that one and they find out, oh, you spend too much money, you don't even care. Well, see, that's because you didn't communicate with them long enough to figure out who they are as a, is as a person, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. So communication is very important. Getting to know your potential person before you start crossing any imaginary lines.
Hmm. I like that. I like that because now I say this. Boy, I've just been telling my business tonight.
Well, you know, that's what the book does. It actually helps you to bring out what it is that you are doing as a person. So I actually applaud you because you are doing it on the air, but that's what the book does. It brings out the things that you probably are not typically aware of, and are these things good for you that you're doing?
Because, again, just like I said, it was normally not my characteristic to make, you know, publicize relationship. I've always been slow to really get into a woman. You know,
mm-hmm.
most women have actually criticized me because I'm so, will be so guarded for so long. But, you know, in my most recent relationship, shoot, I think 2 to 3 months into it, I was like, oh, she the one. She the one.
Can I share something with you?
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's where the thing is, the second seek, okay? I'm going to stop there because, you know, and give you that one. When you get through doing all the communication and you feel like you get to know that person, now you got to look for the consistency in them. See, are you the same person that I met today and the person I met before? You
well,
see?
Like like
so what happens is with a lot of different people is somebody is talking you up, okay, and they got you on the ropes and you spilling your guts, okay? Now are you living the walk that you said you are? For example, if you say, listen, you know what? I like to travel and I like to do a lot of different things. I'm really an outdoorsy, you know, kind of dude and all this other good stuff. But every time they call you, all your actions are that you're at home sitting on the couch and, you know, you just kicking it on the internet. Is that being consistent as to who you say you are?
That's true.
So, you know, along that line, those are a lot of the different things that people need to be aware of when they get involved in a relationship. Communication. Who are you? I don't know you, so tell me who you are. But don't say a great deal. That's a gradual process. Give me a little bit of who you are, and then let's you know, work it out a little bit, and let me process it. But some people just come, you meet them, and they just tell you everything. They tell you their social security number, their access code to the house and everything. Okay, but now what? You done said so much, and then you're not even living the walk consistently like who you said you are.
Hey, wait. Before you go on.
Yes, sir.
It looks like some of my guests said they can't hear me. Now I'm concerned. Uh-oh. What's going on here? Man, that's interesting. Why would my show be... hold on a second. Roland, looks like we got technical difficulties.
I had a few tonight myself, so I understand.
You there, Roland?
I'm right here with your family.
What role should religion and spirituality play in a romantic relationship?
How big of a role should spirituality and what now?
Religion and or spirituality, how big of a role should they play in a romantic relationship?
Well, that depends on the individual person. There's some people who don't believe in anything. I think that if you have two people of different faith, can it work? Yes. However, if that could be a major problem, especially with the in-laws or the potential in-laws or other people.
Okay.
So I think that's something you got to be very careful of.
How important should a person's moral character and integrity be when you're, particularly when you're in a new relationship and you're kind of examining the strengths of a new partner? How big an emphasis should be placed on that?
You know, that's quite a bit, and it's funny that you would actually say that. And here's the reason why I say that, because obviously, when you spoke about me to other people, I said earlier that it's not what I say about myself, it's what other people say. And that can be true, and it's not always a true factor, but for the most part, it's what people see of you publicly. If you're drunk and you're laying out in the street, it doesn't mean that you're a bad person, but it just necessarily means that you're a little bit out of order. You got things that you need to get together. So you have to be very mindful of who you are as a person and listen carefully to how others perceive you, especially if this person is new to you.
Okay. Listeners, I'm having a few continued technical difficulties, so I'm inviting some people to call in. Now, could you hear when you had called in the line?
Could I hear?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, when I spoke, yeah, I can hear you just fine.
Okay, before I called you, you could hear.
Oh, I wasn't in the chat room.
Oh, okay. Now, you have yet another acronym, CLASS, C-L-A-S-S. Briefly tell my listeners the components of CLASS.
Well, CLASS is one of those things where when you treat your relationship, it has to do with a lot of different components. Are you, and I'm going to jump around on this one here, your love language. Are you still speaking the same love language? Am I relating to you and you're relating to me where we enjoy the same things? Are we connecting with one another? One of the S's would be spontaneity. What excitement do you bring to the relationship as a person? Or are you expecting me to bring all the spontaneity and the zest to the relationship? See, in all these different things, when you combine them together, in a relationship, these are the things that can cause a relationship to fail, because we all come from our individual lives, and that's where, let's go back to that 4 C's, communication becomes very important, because if you have your desires, and your desires are very strong, for example, you really like eating fine foods, and you like going out to fine restaurants, but you are someone else that can't afford it, the person you're dating cannot afford what it is your lifestyle that you live. Well, they have a choice. Either they can finance you to do what it is that they want to do, or maybe you need to leave that person alone. You know, because if that person, when they get home and everything is good and everything is great and you're able to take it back to the next level, and that's how that person connects to you in that love language, that's great. But if you can't afford it and then that person is not feeling you that way, you know, remember I spoke about earlier, Mr. Right versus Mr. Right Now. Well, the thing about that is if you're doing everything you can to get that person, but you know that that's not the life and that's not who you are as a person, you run into a lot of problems that way.
Mm-hmm.
See, so then the other thing is about that is also the consistency.
Consistency?
Yeah, consistency, which is part of this consistency that I'm talking about is part of the 4 C's. Because, see, you started off being a certain way using those examples that I mentioned, and now you can't sustain that. So now you're not being consistent, and you know that's what that person likes. So that's why you got to be you. If you're a person like, for example, you know, you adamantly say you like chicken wings, okay, it's out there. You know what I mean?
You know about that.
Oh, yeah, come on. I listen to the show. You know, I get around. But, you know, if you like chicken wings and that person, they're telling you, well, I'm not used to eating chicken wings, and that's just not me. I like more of caviar, and you're going, caviar who? You know, and that person is not willing to, you know, meet you halfway and even cook you some chicken wings, and you ain't willing to eat no caviar because it's not your thing. Then, you know, you have another failure, which is another one of my 4 C's, which is compromise, because you're not seeing each other eye to eye for who you are.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, when is living together a good thing, and when could the idea of shacking up become a bad or regrettable thing to do?
Well, that depends on your religious views, again. And within the book, Are You the Right One for Me, Whose Choice Is It Anyway? I don't typically tell anyone that it's a good idea to live together or it's a bad idea. That's your individual choice. What I would say is this. If you decide to live together, there are some criteria that you should probably make sure that is in place. And you need to make sure that you are able to take care of yourself and that person is able to take care of themselves before you come together. So in essence, if I may go ghetto for a moment, if you got baby mama drama and, you know, you ain't paying your child support payments and all this other good stuff, but then yet you're trying to drag somebody else to help you pay your child support payments, that may not be a good idea to live together. If she's a spender and she got her credit cards maxed up to the rack and she's expecting you to help her narrow down some of her expenses, that may not be a good idea to be living together. Both people have to be almost identically on the same page before you take that step, because that is somewhat of a, going back to my four C's, commitment that the two of you are making. So are you going to be able to make that commitment together? Where if you take that back to the beginning, which is communication, you should already know this before you take that step. But a lot of people nowadays, remember, the first date, hey, how you doing? Second date, I love you. Third date, so let's move in together. You know, by the end of the week, you're talking divorce. So it's those crazy kind of things that we are going on with these years. You know, these days, so if you move in together and you move in together too fast, remember, you don't even know this person. But now you are shacking up, if you will, in that sense, and someone's taking on all the bills and all the responsibilities, and now you have some animosity, if you will, because of the fact that obviously you didn't do your homework. But who is at fault at that if you didn't do your homework?
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, speaking of homework, I've heard some friends of mine, particularly some the more, I guess, educated types, they have actually told me, like I've had women tell me that they will actually do a background check on a guy before they date him. How much should you investigate a new partner, whether it be like through public records or just through their friends and acquaintances having conversations with them? Do you think that's something that should be done, or that's a little too much?
I think that is definitely a little bit too much, and here's why. Because not everything on paper identifies who you are. We all have peaks and valleys in our lives, and I'm sure anybody, even if you look at someone like Donald Trump, had a valley. Does that mean that he is a bad person? No. He had a valley, but look where he came back. Billionaire, re-strategized, and came back. So I think, as the old saying goes, if someone's going to do a background check on you, I ain't saying that they're a gold digger. Okay? Because that doesn't say anything about you. All that says is what you are on paper. And that could be a lie, too, because a lot of people use credit, and the credit looks sensational. But meanwhile, they don't, as my mom and my grandfather, they would say, they ain't got a pot to piss in on a window to throw it out. You know, they living in their car, but they got good credit.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
so
that's why that says nothing.
Okay.
And by the way, let's go one step even further. You got working people who are living at the homeless shelters nowadays. So that really doesn't say anything.
Wait, say that again? You got what?
You have homeless people who work and live at a shelter these days.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying? You have a job, you just don't have a house. that's what I'm saying. So along that line, you can be homeless and you have a job and you work and you still have good credit. You just don't have a house. When people start looking at all these different things, it's just it's just insane. Get to know the person, talk to them, know their plight, and know that if, you know, as we talk about the character traits, if they're going to mesh with you, and it's the character traits on what it is that you need, not what you like, what you need.
Okay, well, harp on that a little bit. Well, how do you distinguish that, what you like versus what you need?
Okay, well, I like a Coca-Cola bottle, okay?
Okay, you mentioned it, yeah, okay.
Well, this example I'm going to go with tonight, so that way I'm consistent. I like a Coca-Cola bottle. Do I need a Coca-Cola bottle? No. But what I need is someone that's going to encourage me, motivate me, and make sure that I'm good, and also to make sure that I am doing what it is that I need to do if I'm lagging, that I know if I fall, she has my back.
Okay.
I need that.
Okay.
See, so those are the things that we sometimes get confused and we get mixed up in, that I need, you know, a girl that she got long hair and she got some green eyes and, you know, she got to look like a Coca-Cola. You know, she got to shake it like a mm-hmm. But you don't need that. That's not what you need. That's just the outer shell. But if you need somebody that is going to support you and say when you get up in the morning, hey, go out there and make it happen. I know that you can do it. Because we all have our self issues where we feel like we may not be able to do something. But a woman who knows how to reach her man and vice versa, a man who knows how to reach his woman, he can communicate with her non-verbally, and nobody else knows what's going on in the room except them two.
Yeah.
Case in point, Barack Obama and Michelle Obama.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you call a love language that nobody else understands but them.
Got you. Let me see if I got a phone call. I don't know if this person is just listening or has a question or comment. Area code 850-850. You are now up front and straightforward with Alan Roger Curry and my guest, Roland Hines. Are you just listening, or do you have a question or comment?
I have a comment, actually.
Okay. What's your first name?
My name is Lori.
Lori? Hey, could you turn down the show in the background?
I don't have the show on at all, actually.
Oh, I'm hearing some feedback. Okay, well, go ahead with your question or comment.
I was going to comment, you asked a question earlier about how soon before you should consider marriage. And I don't think really any one person can answer that for everybody, because it really just depends on the chemistry and, you know, if it's a mutual situation and not just one-sided. For instance, I had a past relationship with my ex. I'm married now, but actually we were together for like 3 years, and after 6 months of being together, I moved in with him, and I was only like 19 at the time.
Okay.
So, yeah, I know all about the living situation, and I agree with everything you said. It's really not an easy thing, and you should wait. Before you move in with somebody, you should wait to get to know them better. But as far as marriage goes, we were together for 3 years, and he wanted me to marry him, and I just knew it wasn't right, you know, so I didn't. Met my husband. Actually, you know, he wasn't my husband at the time, but I met him a month after me and this other guy broke up, and 6 months later we got married. So I think that, you know, it depends on the relationship and the chemistry, and you really can't put a time on it.
Okay. Okay. Well, thank you for your call. I appreciate you listening to the show. What's 850? What state is that?
It's Florida. It's a couple of different cities that have 850, but I'm calling that a Panama City.
Panama City. Well, I appreciate you listening to my show.
Oh, thank you.
Oh. Roland, now, again, I'm kind of going back to this whole sizing someone up type deal. When you're ready to enter into a new relationship, what are, say, maybe 3 to 5 things you absolutely should find out via questions? Like, what are questions you should ask to find out certain information? And what kind of answers could be potential red flags for you?
With an individual, you're saying? What should be a potential red flag?
Like, let's say I met a new woman next week,
mm-hmm.
that I might be attracted to and interested in.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing what I know from the past, there's a lot of women that have given me an impression that they would be a great fit for me, but as time went on, I saw that they weren't. What are some questions that I might want to think about and ask that would give me the information I need to make my decisions.
Well, it truly depends on what's important to you. Let me tell you from my perspective what I need.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I need a nurturer, and I need somebody who is very spiritual-oriented, spiritual-minded, specifically a belief in God. But the reason why I choose those two things, that's not something that I would talk to her about. I would just observe her in her natural environment and see what it is that she does. For example, I've been out specifically with some ladies, and when I've been out with them, they want me to go ahead and clean off the table and all that other good stuff. Do I have a problem doing it? Absolutely not. But if that's not her natural tendency, okay, to be a nurturer, when we have kids, where is that going to take us?
True.
See, so now let's see how many places that stems. Now, I have to look at her as the mother of my child. Not saying that she can't make an adjustment, but if I'm not seeing it initially right off the cuff, then why am I in wasting time and investing in a situation where that's not her natural tendency? I could bring it up and say, hey, you know, I noticed that you're not very nurturing that way. Is that your normal habit, you know? And then she may explain herself or whatever the situation is. But then after she explains herself, then I'll go back in look mode again. Because now she's aware. We've discussed this, but I'm not making an issue out of it, you see.
Yeah.
Then we have the spirituality side, which I was talking about. Well, I truly believe from my specific side that a woman is the driving force behind the religious part. Even though the man is the head of the household, women clearly go to church and they worship a little bit more than men. They drive us to get us where we got to go. But it takes two.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm falling a little short in my faith and she doesn't have any faith whatsoever, where is that taking us as a couple? Should I get sick? Should I have financial ruins or whatever the situation is? I need somebody to say, baby, let's pray on this. Or someone's going to be able to give me a word that is going to be able to move me and drive me. But if this woman doesn't have that, then she's clearly not the one for me.
Mm-hmm.
See, these are subtleties that, going back to the four C's, utilizing communication, that if you talk to somebody, these are things that you can find out beforehand. But most people, they get caught up on the physical. Let's go back with the Coca-Cola bottle. She's shaking it like a rump shaker, but you're not thinking about her as being wifey material. You're thinking about her as being a dime.
True.
You know, and then what happens is you go, you know, and this is, now I'm generalizing, so let me just put that out there. You go and you knock up the dime, and now you have issues, and you're wondering why you have the issues. It's because you didn't communicate and look for the consistency in that woman to see the qualities that she had and what she was displaying before you went ahead and did what you had to do.
Hmm. Those are all good points there, Roland.
Yeah, that's what, you know, and it happens every day. So along that line, you know, when people tell me different things about, you know, well, like, for example, the last caller, she said that she dated someone for, like, 3 years, and after dating someone for 3 years, she married after six months. That may be good and great and everything like that, and I hope that her marriage is happy, that, you know, and she found the right one for her, but there's a lot of different elements that goes along with that, where she was when she met him as far as how she felt about herself, where this gentleman was when they first met. So there's a lot of different elements. Can it work? Absolutely. Anything can work in the realm of relationship. It's just a matter of timing and whether or not we all meet at the same place at the same time.
Okay, well, let me ask you this. I had a buddy recently. He met a woman, and he was really attracted to her. Now, she had told him up front that she had dated a guy similar to you. You dated your ex-girlfriend, you said, for 7.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
This guy said his girl had dated a guy prior to their relationship off and on for about 7 years. I think she dated him like maybe 3 years, broke up with him, got back together with him for about two and a half years, broke up with him, got back together with him for another 9 months. And he said things were going well, and then all of a sudden she ended up telling him that she still had feelings for that guy who she was in that off-again, off-again, 7-year relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when he first heard about it, should that have been a red flag or not necessarily?
It's definitely something to look at. You know, let me say this about individuals in general. And now I want to speak from a man's perspective, because a woman usually do it a lot easier. She's worth something, she would do this a lot easier. So let me go from the male perspective. If a man handles his business with a woman and he sets a precedent for that woman will always think about him. That's why, as men, when we find that right one, okay, you need to set the precedent that no matter where and who she's with, she will always remember you, because you know you did your job as a man. If you set the bar level low, anybody can come in and just wipe out what you did or did not do.
Wow.
You see what
I'm
going with?
That's good stuff, yeah. I'm feeling you on that.
And even the man himself will be a little on a defense on that, because she will talk about that, and if she don't talk about it, guess what? The people who are her friends and know, they'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So that's why it's imperative that anybody who is in a good relationship, that you know, or a decent relationship, you're going somewhere, it's about standards and setting the precedence of your relationship.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
And that's why, and that's how you get emails after 9 years. You tie that one back in.
Yeah, well, you know, that's funny, because that happened to me too. If I admit something similar that happened to me, I'm going to have to date myself, because women think I look younger than I really am. But I actually have my own version of that. I had an ex-girlfriend who's actually still married. She contacted me literally over 20 years after we broke up.
Yeah, but you was one.
Hmm?
You was age one when that happened.
There you go.
Yeah, we stop at the 20-year mark.
Mm-hmm. So when should you, how quickly in a relationship, I know you don't want to start off a relationship being, I guess, too negative or too scrutinizing, but when should you identify potential deal breakers and red flag issues? Just as they come up, or should you do that early on?
Well, you know, people tell you who they are. That's part of their characteristic. Let's just say hypothetically this person has a commitment to their family, their extended family, because, you know, obviously you're working. And when I say extended family, I mean the in-laws. Like, let's use, for example, a Latin culture, where the kids sometimes take care of the parents, and you don't agree with that. You know, you think that we should be taking care of each other, and you should not be taking care of your parents. Your parents should be taking care of yourself. And they can't come live with us either while we're at it. That can be a deal breaker.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So, you know, there's a lot of adversities when it comes on to the deal breakers, if that makes sense, because it could be a small thing, literally a small thing. I like going to the gym. You don't want me to go to the gym because there's too many women at the gym, and you put up a fuss every time I want to go to the gym. That's a deal breaker, because I'm not going for the ladies. I'm going to make sure that I look good for you, but you can't even identify the fact that I want to look good for you, because you ain't putting in the same efforts as I am. May not. Let me hypothetically say, you may not be putting in the same thing as I do. I get my release from the gym. You get your release from riding a bike out in the street or running or walking or whatever have you not. Could be a deal breaker.
Okay. Well, we're running out of time, Roland. I've really, truthfully enjoyed this. Man, this has been great. I think it's been great for my listeners. The only thing I just regret is that we had these technical difficulties, but hopefully people get to listen to both parts. But please tell my listeners where they can find you on the World Wide Web.
Oh, yes. Well, two things. If you Google me, Roland Hines, R-O-L-A-N-D-H-I-N-D-S, you'll actually see a picture of me up there, and you see a whole bunch of my shows, TrueView Relationship Radio. And the book is available at this moment at www.RolandHinesMedia.webs.com. It will be available in all the different Amazon and Barnes & Nobles and all that other good stuff in 6 to 8 weeks. The book is only 2 weeks old, but let me tell you, it's a very impactful book, and it's for you to do what you have to do. Nobody else needs to know. It's between you and the book.
I like that. Well, brother, man, again, much appreciated.
I want to just thank you real quick, Alan, very much for having me on your show. I really appreciate the platform. It has been a wonderful experience. And, you know, all good things going to happen, man. Just be patient and, you know, let her present herself to you. And you'll know. You'll love again. We all will love again. But not everything that show up. And, you know, let me just say this. The devil sends his worst before God sends his best.
I like that. I like that. All right, folks, I'll see you next week. Again, I probably won't have a particular guest. It will be an open discussion forum. I don't know what the topic is, but I'll let you know through Facebook and otherwise. Until then, have a safe and enjoyable weekend, and I'll see you next Thursday.